Hey, what's up? Hello. Welcome to Sounds Fake But Okay, a podcast where an arrow ace girl, I'm Sarah, that's me.
And a bi-demisexual girl, that's me, Kayla.
Talk about all things to do with love, relationships, sexuality, and pretty much anything else we just don't understand.
On today's episode, couple privilege.
Sounds fake, but okay. Welcome back to the pod.
Hello. We're back. Bet you didn't expect to see us here.
They're not seeing us.
Exactly. That's why they didn't expect it.
Ugh, so real. You're so right for that. How's everyone doing? Are you good?
Thank you to everyone who became a patron or upped their patronage.
Slayful.
Since last week. That was very kind of you. We got a couple very nice reviews.
Did we? I didn't even look.
Yes. I will have to show you. There's one in particular that I was like, I'm going to cry. That was very nice.
Don't do that.
I won't.
Do it later.
I will.
Schedule your crying time, not during the pod.
I'm not going to do that. What else was there? There was another thing. Oh, we were on the cover of a newspaper.
Because we were interviewed by a lovely human person named Erin.
Mm-hmm.
For an Ann Arbor-based queer publication, and it's on, like, the website goes beyond that, but then they also have a hard copy that's, like,
yes.
In the local Ann Arbor area.
Yes. Well, what it's actually,
is it called?
Yes, so the media place is called Pride Source Media.
Yeah,
so, they,
so that's, like, the big overarching.
That's, like, the website, and they, yeah. The newspaper is called Between the Lines. So Between the Lines used to be, like, owned by someone else, and now it's owned by Pride Source and whatever,
right.
They merged. But so the print publication is Between the Lines. And yes, one of my friends who lives in the Detroit area of Michigan was walking through the grocery store and saw us on a newsstand, and he was like, the fuck? And I was like, the fuck? Because I knew
the article. And I was like, the fuck?
I knew the article had come out online like a week or so ago, and we had like shared it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not know it was going to be on the cover. So he was like, huh? And so then I told my parents about it. And the next day they drove to the Ann Arbor area and took all of the copies left on the newsstand they found.
My parents, well, my sister and my parents also got some. And my sister was like, I got one for Kayla's parents. And I was like, too late.
They already did it. They have nine.
And they were like, okay, fine. We have an extra.
Yeah. This is what happens when you have retired parents, is they're like, okay.
Yeah, mine aren't retired. And my sister was like, your teeth look really blue on the print version.
On the paper?
Yeah. They do.
Well.
It's either yellow or blue. Those are your options. Also, my mom was talking to our like family friends, like my godfather, who he and his husband are gay.
Yes, famously.
And my mom was saying how they were having trouble finding it at first. And she, like, mentioned the name of the publication. And my godfather was like, oh, you just got to go to the gay bars.
Oh.
And my mom was like, I don't know the gay bars.
I don't either. I don't know. I know one gay bar in Michigan. I don't know that they have a newsstand.
And then he was like, oh, there's one near you. It's in X City, except the city he named was actually fairly far. He meant something else. I don't know.
All right.
But my mom was like, I don't frequent gay bars.
The gay bar. Yeah.
As a heterosexual woman, I don't usually. I think the last time she was at a gay bar, I was with her.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah, I don't know where my parents ended up finding one. That from the picture they took, it was outside somewhere. So I don't know exactly
where. My sister found it at the
Michigan
Theater.
Oh, interesting. My friend found it at a small grocery store in Detroit, so it's, you know.
Well, like in Detroit?
Mm-hmm. He lives, yeah. I don't know that he's like downtown, but he lives in Detroit.
Yeah, but like within the city limits of Detroit. Wild.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't just go out to Ann Arbor. I looked at the publication map, and it's around.
Southeast Michigan. It's not like the Detroit News cannot leave the bounds of the city of Detroit. It's not how the news works.
Yeah. So anyway, huge slay. Thank you, Erin, for interviewing us. Erin was lovely. And also thank you to Ben, who took – I couldn't remember his name. Thank you to Ben, who took our lovely picture, which is, I'm pretty sure, the only reason we're on the front cover is because it's a really –
It's because the pictures are good.
It's a really nice picture. So
– They are.
Thank you, Ben.
Shout out to Ben.
Shout out, Ben. And if you want to see what the cover looks like, it's on our Instagram. Unless you live in Michigan, I don't think you'll be seeing it. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Shout out to me meeting Ben in middle school.
Yeah.
And it leading to this and moment.
The butterfly effect, as they say.
Anyway.
That's it.
What are we talking about this week?
This week we're talking about couple privilege.
Boo.
Hiss. Hiss. I'm sure we've talked about couple privilege in passing in episodes, but I don't think we've ever done a full episode on it. Did I check? No.
No.
But
if we have, it's a new take. It's a different day.
It's a new day. We did talk about it. It's a new day. And I'm feeling
okay.
Fine. we did talk about it in our book, though, a bit.
Because I remember I was writing Spotify, that section. Yeah, I was like, I wanted to like name examples of couple privilege that were like succinct and short.
Yes. So what did you have, like
couples? And very surface level. Cause like I had like, there are like tax benefits and there are whatever. But I also wanted to name like surface level things. And the first one I thought of was Spotify Duo. And I could not think of a second one. And so I was like, Kayla.
Did you do, like couples massages? Isn't that what we ended up with?
Yeah. Just 2-for-1 couples massages.
Yeah. I have Spotify Duo. That's my couples privilege.
I was like, Kayla, I need a superficial couple privilege thing to help me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more that we're not thinking of.
Yeah. The other day, Spotify was like, you should get Duo. And I was like, with who?
Yeah, you don't even have a roommate anymore. And it, like, it wants you to be in the same location. Like, it checks.
Yeah.
Wild. So I have some thoughts that are more, like, deeper in, so I'm going to save them. And it's the reason I thought of that, thought of this topic this week. But... shall we start by defining?
I would love absolutely nothing more.
Okay, go ahead.
I have to go?
You said you would love nothing more.
Yeah, I would love nothing more than for you to define.
Well, you didn't say that, so go on.
It was implied.
What if we just sit here and stare at each other privilege. For the rest of the episode? You know?
Couple privilege is... I wasn't prepared for this. You're just gonna get brain rambles.
Yep.
It's how when you are in a monogamous, long-term, romantic, sexual relationship, especially if you're married, but not necessarily, you don't have to be married, you get certain advantages over single people that are financial, they're social, they're whatever. Some of them are intentional, like Spotify Duo, where you can get a cheaper deal on Spotify if you do it with your partner. Others of them are just kind of like social, the way that our social order has constructed itself that makes life easier for you in a way that it would not be if you were a single person. Couple privilege is just the idea that if you are in that sort of relationship, there are things that are built for you and designed for you to do as a couple, that if you're a single person or if you are a not single person but you are in a non-monogamous relationship, you don't have the same access to and the same ability to achieve things.
That was a great definition.
Thank you so much. It came out of my ass.
Well, I thought it was very good. I think the
shout out to my ass.
I love Sarah's ass. Anyway,
that's definitely a sentence you've never said.
Yeah, probably not, because my ass is better than yours. So why would I ever say objectively? Anyway, I think the way that is helped me most like clearly understand couples privilege is the relationship escalator. I think that that is a very clear kind of like concise way of thinking about it. So the relationship escalator comes from the book The Relationship Escalator by our main bitch Elizabeth Brake.
Is it by Elizabeth Brake? Elizabeth? No. That's the amount of normativity person.
Graham. Amy. No, not Amy.
Amy Garin.
Who's Elizabeth Brake?
Elizabeth Brake created...
That's a man of normativity.
A man of normativity. She didn't create it. She named it. She defined it.
We have too many main bitches.
Oh my God. I was sitting there. I was like, I don't think Kayla knows this person's name. And Kayla was the one who read the book.
Yeah. I think we should have Amy on. She's not going to want to come on after this. But we
Amy,
talk about...
Amy, don't listen to this part.
Don't listen to this part. Skip. But, I mean, we talk about her book. I talk about her book so much because it's a great book.
Honestly, anyway, we really should at this point.
We like, really why should. It's, we a not? Great, it's a great read. We'll work on that maybe. I have a lot of time on my hands. I have no excuse. Anyway, the relationship escalator is the idea that there is kind of this set path of how you progress through a monogamous romantic sexual relationship, going from dating to, you know, living together to getting married to having kids to growing old together and dying and, you know, may death do you part, that whole thing. There's a very like linear track. This is how you're supposed to do it.
Oh my God. People, couples privilege graves.
Oh yeah. 2-for-1 graves.
Oh my God. I just thought of that.
Man, that would have been really good.
Oh, we should have put that in
a new edition of the book. That's the first thing.
We'll trade that out.
Putting that right in there. Wow. That's funny. Anyway. So for people who follow that track, things are a lot easier because it's the track that society assumes you're going to follow. So just the same way that the escalator is faster and easier than the stairs, or, you know, it's easier.
Yeah. You don't have to do as much work to move forward in these relationships because you're on an escalator that is moving you up at the pace that it deems appropriate. And like, yes, you still have to get on the escalator. And like, if you want to run up the escalator, you can.
Yeah.
But it really helps you out. It really sends you up there.
And it's not, I think part of the reason I wanted to talk about couples privilege is also the thing we talk about so often is how aloes too would benefit from the breakdown of some of these systems. And I think one of the bad things that can happen at the relationship escalator is that because there are these social scripts in place, you could find yourself moving along the escalator just without thinking about it, when really, if you stop to think, you'd probably want to get off and like not get married to this person or not have kids in general. And I think that can be a big downfall, is that those constructive conversations aren't had. Kind of like the other whatever episode it was, we were talking about how in traditional hetero marriages, there's like implied gender roles of like who takes out the trash and who does whatever. And it alleviates the need, quote unquote, for those conversations, but you should probably still be having them. And that's when issues arise. I think it's the same thing of like, yes, it can be easier because it means you don't have to have those conversations because things are assumed. But also when you're just going along the path and then all of a sudden you're like, I have 3 kids and I want a divorce.
Yeah, like I, you know, so many people get on the relationship escalator without realizing it. And then by the time they realize they're on it, they're like in the middle of it. And there's the escalators don't have like exits until you get to the end.
You can't really. Yeah, you have to get to the end. Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, they were just like, oh, I have a crush on this person. Let's get onto this escalator with them. And now it's like, I have 14 kids and I hate my life.
So to me, that's like the relationship escalator is just like kind of step one of couples privilege. From the beginning, things are just easier. Like, you don't have people questioning you about the way you're going about your relationship. You're just like, things are going as planned. And so people kind of let you be. And also things are just like easier to navigate. And then once you're actually in that relationship, then things like what you were talking about, like the more financial benefits and the deeper systemic things, like, I mean, just like the tax breaks of getting married, or like the fact that you live with someone else, like you, assuming you live together, you know, you're sharing rent, where single people don't have a built-in roommate.
Like when my sister got married, they were like, oh my God, like we can go on whoever has the best insurance.
Yes, that is a like, huge, yeah, that's something I'm like, as someone who was just laid off, LOL, that is something that has been huge for me, is I financially don't have to worry as much as other people in my same position because I have someone else's insurance I can go on and someone I can fall back on financially if things get like bad, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that is a huge privilege that I have that a single person absolutely would not have, especially if they're over 26.
Whereas I'm in the opposite situation. Where I now have to take on more because I don't have a roommate.
Yeah.
And you know how much, okay, you know how much my fucking internet costs?
Oh, I don't even want to know.
Is it like so bad here? It's $91 a month.
Yeah.
And for some reason, last month, like, I had it on autopay, and I guess the autopay stopped.
Oh, good.
Even though, like, the account, the card, like, it was still active, I have no idea. And so I got a call from Spectrum being like, we're gonna turn off your fucking internet. And I was like, what the fuck? And then they also texted me. And then also they sent me mail. And
oh my God.
I was like, Jesus Christ, calm down. But then I was looking at it and it was like, it now costs $91 a month. And I was like, that's wild, because when I first moved into this apartment 4 years ago, it was $55 a month.
That is wild.
That's how Spectrum gets you. Spectrum is horrible, but it's one of the only options.
Yeah, there's only – that's the thing, is you don't have options. You just do what's there.
And now I have to pay for it all by myself.
Yeah.
Anyway,
this got sad.
Anyway, couple privilege. If I was in a relationship and I lived with that person, I would only have to pay $45 a month.
And for and a half – and 50 cents.
And 50 cents.
And 50 cents. Yeah. So it's just like – and it's just the way our society is built, you know? Like all of these systems were put in place with the understanding of people are supposed to get married because our government wants us to get married and have children.
Well,
to
and
work
that even
– in their factories.
Yeah. Capitalism. That even extends beyond couple privilege to like you get to like I'm thinking about like family plans for phones.
Yes. Yeah, true.
And like
you don't have to be family to be on a family plan, to be fair.
It depends on the company. Like
I guess actually I might be wrong, because now that I think about it, everyone on my family plan is technically family, at least by marriage.
Yeah.
So never mind.
I think it's like either you have to be family or you have to live at the same address.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But like even that sort of thing, it's like there's been discussion about how so many like millennials and older Gen Zs are still on their parents' phone plan.
Yeah.
I'm on my parents' phone plan.
Never getting off that shit. I pay back my phone bill, but
I'm not
getting off that.
I don't even know how much I cost.
My mom only started making us do it in the last couple of years. And I was like, you know what?
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
If my parents asked me to, I would. They haven't. So.
Yeah.
But like when my sister got married, they added my sister-in-law to my family. Yeah. To like
so
my parents' family.
That happened with my brother-in-law. We have my grandparents are on it now. My brother-in-law is on it. We just keep collecting people.
Just keep adding people.
Yeah.
And it's like,
no, but
it's so much cheaper to do it that way.
It
per
is.
Person. Like the breakdown is so much better.
Yeah. I mean, just like going beyond like apartments into home ownership, like you can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just thinking about how many, I don't know. You might be one of my only friends that lives alone, that doesn't have roommates. Like thinking about it, the majority of the friends I have that are our age either live with a partner or have roommates, like, which I don't think, like, thinking back to when my parents were my age, first of all, already having kids, second of all, owned a house, like
my mom had my sister when she was my age,
and they owned a house. I'm sure.
I mean, I technically she had a roommate who was my dad.
Well, yes, but yes,
continues to be my dad.
Yeah, good. That's good to hear.
But yeah, it's just well, also because people would get married younger, and so they wouldn't have a period where they might be living alone.
Yeah, because you like, yeah, you leave college and then you're immediately married.
Yeah. But living alone is weird.
Yeah, how are you liking it?
It's okay. The problem is I don't talk to people.
Yeah.
And so like I have to be more thoughtful about making myself do things.
Yeah.
So that I don't become a hermit.
I will be honest, when I found out when you were like, I'm gonna live alone, I was like, who is she gonna be forced to socialize with? That's the job of Sarah's roommate. I did it, and then her other roommates came after me and did it. Who will take up this mantle?
Who will do it?
And obviously this is affecting A-spec people especially, because especially now that gay people can get married, it's like
the gay
Not that they weren't. Done it. They've done it. Not that they weren't already like living together in domestic partnerships and all of that. But like it just adds, you know, the added benefit.
And they were
tax
roommates.
And they. But so now it's just like, I think when you think about when you do like your oppression Olympics or whatever, and you're like, Aspec people are fine, everything's fine. I think people really don't think about what a disadvantage it is to say, I plan to be single forever.
Yeah.
Like that the world is just like not really built for people to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's becoming like obviously more popular for people to do that. It's more acceptable for people to not be partnered. But systems that were put in place decades ago aren't really supporting that.
And I can't speak to other cultures necessarily, but something that's often talked about, which we actually also touched on in a book, is how in the West, but in the United States specifically, it is not normal to have like multiple generations living in a home.
Yeah.
At least if it's a non-immigrant home.
Yeah.
There's like a stigma around that, and like there's less of like family community built in.
Yeah.
And so when people both don't have that and also don't have a traditional romantic sexual partner, it's like it's a whole new world out there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And recently, someone that we work with who is fully grown adult. Like in, I would say at least her 50s, is single, like owns her own, whatever. She was sick.
Yeah.
And, someone was like, oh, like that really sucks. She's like all alone and she's sick.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
My roommate moved out when I
had COVID. Yeah. She was like, actually, this is too much for me. I have to get going.
I couldn't help her move out because I had COVID. I actually did help her move some stuff at one point because all of her friends just abandoned her.
I love that.
She'd had like six people helping her the day before. And then the next day, suddenly none of them could do anything. And she
was
like,
about right.
I'm so sorry. I know you are ill. But I can't move this mattress by myself.
It's fair.
Anyway.
It's a big thing. But I mean, I think a lot of like, that reminds me a lot of Raina's book, The Other Significant Others, talking about just like, especially in older age, friends caretaking for friends because they maybe are like widowed or have been single. And it's like, you know, as you get older, you need people to take care of you.
And I moved away from my entire family.
You sure did.
And just with like, yes, we are more connected than ever because we have the internet and blah, 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 blah. But also that gives us more access with modern technology to be able to leave home and to move other places. And so I think it is more common to... Yeah. Leave your hometown and not just like leave it for the town over, to move across the country like I did and like Kayla did. And
yeah, I feel like it's more common than ever for people to be not close to any of their family members. Like growing up, my entire extended family lived in Michigan in the same state. I saw them for every holiday. And that's just not going to be the reality for like my future family.
Yeah.
You know?
No, like growing up, like my whole extended family, my cousins, like all lived in Southeast Michigan. The wildest it got was I had some cousins that lived like technically not Southeast Michigan, but still Michigan, still could drive it easily in a day. And even now, looking at my cousins, like I have a cousin that lives in Texas. I have a cousin that lives in Las Vegas. I live in LA. Like, and it's just like, we're seeing us spread out.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing happened with my cousins. Yeah. Like half of us are in Michigan and the other half are as far away as possible.
Yeah. Sad. And I mean, at least for me and my one cousin, it's, we moved to other places for work. Like we didn't move to the places we moved to because we were like, she wasn't like, I want to live in Houston.
I have to get to Texas.
She was like, I'm sorry. NASA wants me so bad.
So bad. I have to go work for NASA.
I have to go to Houston.
So sorry.
The other option is what? Cape Canaveral? No.
No, I fear not.
And then my other cousin, like, who lives in Las Vegas, she moved out there for grad school and then met her now wife.
Classic.
So, you know.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Wives, am I right? Listen, though, I also think couples privilege is bad for couples.
Speak on it.
Thoughts?
Agree.
Okay. So here's what made me think about this. Well, so first of all, stuff with like the relationship escalator, right? Is when you're when you're kind of forced into this track, then you can find yourself getting too far. You have communication breakdowns. There's a lot of assumptions of gender roles, right? There's like all of that kind of systemic shit. But recently I had a situation that really made me feel like, okay, here's what happened. Okay.
Tell me.
I got laid off, right? Bad. Yeah. And it felt like in some areas of my life, I was not getting as much support from my support system as I wanted to. Like some of my support systems were working great. I was feeling really good. And other support systems, I was like, I feel like I'm not getting what I need from these people.
Donut hole.
And what?
Donut hole.
I'm not going to be a donut hole.
That's
my job.
Listen, Kayla asked what she should do for her job, and I said donut hole, and she doesn't
okay,
think that's
you were
helpful.
Not the support. You were not the support system I was talking about, but yes.
I know, that's why I said donut hole, because I knew that I wasn't very helpful, but I also, you didn't come you to weren't. Me for helpfulness.
No, I don't go, it was so funny. I don't know if I said this last week on the podcast, but I was talking to my former boss about just like what I'm going to do next.
Oh,
and
he's
like, well,
yeah.
What does your podcast partner say? Like, what advice did she give you? And I was like, none. She doesn't.
Donut hole.
She doesn't do that. Anyway. So anyway, there were certain support systems where I was just like, it was feeling a bit off. And I was talking to Dean about it. And, you know, I was just like, I'm just like not feeling great about this. It's kind of upsetting that I'm not getting what I feel like I need. And we were just like talking about, you know, reasons that was happening. And we talked about a couple things, but one of them was that because Dean and I are a couple and we are a couple in this group of people.
Oh,
are you still there?
Goodbye. Kayla just
hello
disappeared from the call.
Yeah, she's not there.
What? It was right when I got a text from my sister. I don't think those two things are related. Did her computer die? What happened here? I'm just going to continue to narrate the situation. I'm going to go back and talk about some of the other couple privilege things that are more ingrained in our society, which is like tax benefits. You have, if you file jointly, you have cheaper taxes. Hi, hello, I've kept going. I'm talking about joint tax returns. And also, when your spouse dies, you get stuff.
Well, if you're on their life insurance.
Well, yeah, but like you can more easily be on their life insurance because you're a spouse. If they're very sick, you're the person that they automatically are like, hey, if you don't have a specific power of attorney.
Yeah.
Like, it defaults to your spouse. Like,
it does. Yeah. If you don't specifically assign someone as your like power of attorney or on your life insurance, it does just automatically go to your spouse. Like, you have to go in and change that.
If you don't have a spouse, it's either your parent or your child, depending on.
Yeah. It's like next of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, why did you disappear?
I don't know. My internet just like froze.
Great. It happened right when my sister texted me, and I was like,
"You thought you
did? I cause this?"
What was I saying when you last heard me?
You were talking about how your support systems weren't all being as supportive as you wished they would be. Your donut holes were being donut holes and not full sized donuts.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was talking to Dean about this, and we were like talking about like reasons that we thought that was happening and just how I felt about it. And it kind of made me realize that in this group of people, in this support system, Dean and I are both in this. Like, these are people we're both friends with. And we met most of these people as a couple. And we are a very, like, strong couple presence to a lot of people. And mm-hmm. it made me realize that a lot of times they just assume that Dean and I like have it handled if one of us is going through a hard time, mm-hmm. which like overall is like mostly true, right? Like that's another benefit of being in a couple is you just kind of have like an automatic support system there, assuming your partner is like good at handling
right.
your like
not a
emotions.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, what you have going on.
Yeah.
So it is a privilege, right? Is like I, especially someone like I'm in a house of four people mm-hmm. and I have like an automatic person in this house who is like my go-to, you know, yeah. like this is the person in the house that I am closest to. This is always going to be
and
the first person
I Gnocchi.
Go to. And it's Gnocchi, my fucking idiot cat. So in some ways, like, yes, it is absolutely a privilege. But in other ways, I am very aware that Dean and I cannot be everything to each other. Like, yeah. I am aware that I need friends, that I have people that are better at certain advice than others, that, like, Dean is not good at everything. He cannot handle all of my issues perfectly.
Yeah.
And so it feels kind of like a disadvantage that because of couples privilege, people just assume, like, they've got it. Like, they're good. They've been together this long. Like, you know, we'll support a little bit, but like clearly they have it handled, mm-hmm. Which I think is sad because, you know, people just assume that your partner is everything to you, that they are your best yeah. friend, they're your partner, they're your therapist, they're whatever. And so they don't need, you know, feel the need to get as involved.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that because with you specifically, and I think it's different depending on like, okay, did I know you before you were with your partner? Like yeah. how well did I know you? Like how long has it been? Whatever. But like for you, like I know that you are in a committed relationship with Dean.
Yeah.
Like, but to me, like Dean is the same amount a part of your support system as any of your other close friends. Like I don't, yeah. consider him another level at all.
Yeah.
And it's also just it's a little weird. It's a slightly weird situation because I have known you for approximately 12 decades.
Yeah, yes.
And I knew Dean before yes. you started dating.
I mean, you knew Dean better than I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I don't.
Now you don't. What are you going to do?
Which is weird.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone in our friend group, at least in, like, our house, yeah. knew Dean.
Yeah.
But then when you became a couple, it was, like, when?
It was our senior year, yeah.
It was senior year. So most of the time you have been a couple, I have not been physically around you.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's... Like, to me, I'm not like, oh, yeah, like, they're a duo. They're, like, they're always, it's, like, Kayla and Dean. I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's yeah. Dean.
Yeah. Like, and Kayla's also.
What a guy.
No, it's definitely weird because I also don't think Dean and I are very, like, codependent couple. Yeah. Like, especially I think the longer you're together with someone, it's like, I don't need to always sit next to him at dinner when we go yeah. out. Like, I sleep next to him every night. Like, we yeah. can, you know, it's yeah. fine. And so like, and I've like, we've had people before that have just met us and seen us together and people have been like, oh yeah, they're a couple. And they're like, really? Like, I didn't.
And that's as it should be.
As
when
it
couples
should be.
Are obnoxious, I fucking I hate know. That shit.
I know you do.
I'm too Arrow-ass Irish Catholic for that.
The Irish Catholic. Yeah. So it's interesting to me because. You know, as I get older and we continue to move around and meet new people as a couple, mm-hmm. it's just like this kind of like new identity of people seeing us as like these two people go together.
He's just Dean. Anywhere else, he'd be a fiend.
He'd be a spleen. but anyway, I just think, you know, I think that's not good for couples yeah. either. And I think, you know, part of it could be that unfortunately, a lot of people get in a couple and they detach from their friends. And so friends mm-hmm. feel like, okay, I'm going to keep my distance too. And so maybe that's like part of it too. It's just kind of like a bad cycle of things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's also I think, you know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of it really is just people assuming that your partner has to be everything to you all the time and right. to fulfill every role, and the assumption that, like, you, once you're in this committed relationship, you don't necessarily go to different people for different things. Like, that's your person.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, a dangerous... It's a dangerous way to live your life, man.
Yeah, I think... I mean, I think that hurts everyone. That hurts the people in the couple, obviously. That's a lot of pressure to put on a relationship. That hurts the friends of those people who might get left behind if people are, like, really subscribed to those ideas.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's not a good way to build a community in the world in general if we're... Yeah. You know, telling people, like, you're going to pair off and then you're only going to be friends with other couples. And, you know, like, yeah. that's just not a sustainable way to build larger communities.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great.
Yeah. And, like, if you look at historically humanity, a large part of the reason humans have survived so long and evolved into people who talk into fucking microphones over Zoom.
Imagine.
To say our little bullshit words into your ears or into your eyes if you're reading a transcript.
You're reading this.
Like, the reason that we've been able to achieve that is because humans kind of mastered the art of community.
Yeah.
And I feel like, not to be like, the digital age, phones are ruining us, but there is some truth to that. Okay. I think it's also related to how relationships have changed, that we've talked about this recently on the podcast, about how, like, before, you got married for financial reasons, for stability reasons, for whatever, and, you know, if you loved your husband, then great, but, like, you know, he was not everything to you. You would still go to your female friends for whatever.
Yeah.
And because we've evolved into our understanding of relationships being like, this is your person, this is your other half, like, that has isolated people and couples from community, and it makes it harder to build community, which is the basis upon which everything fucking works. And, you know, without community, without effective community, like, what that happens, which is when you knock your cherry coke over.
I think part of it is just, like, the rise of the nuclear family too, and just, like, how family units are presented. Like you said, it used to be you get married for finances or whatever, but then you and your husband wouldn't, you know, interact a lot. You would go off with your ladies, he'd go off with the boys, and, like, those were your communities. And then the children were, like, up in the nursery, and children really had no rights, and, like, no one talked to them. There was no entertainment specifically for children.
Fuck them kids.
No, but literally, like, they were seen as, like, nothing. There's no children's entertainment. There's nothing specifically made for kids. Like, kids as an audience is, like, relatively pretty new of people being like, hey, we should, like, care about these guys.
I was watching a video. There's this, like, linguist. His name is Jeff, spelled Geoff. He's a British man. He makes YouTube videos. He has a very interesting, like, timbre of, like, the way he talks is very distinct. Anyway, he talks about, like, linguistics and language and words and shit. And I find that interesting. And I was watching one of his videos yesterday, where he was talking. It doesn't matter what he's talking about. I'm not going to explain it. But as an example, he was using this, like, children's programming that he was like, this was one of the very first things one of my first memories was this, like, very early children's programming in the UK. And this man's, like, an old man. So, like, it was from a long time. It was, like, little puppets. And it was like children's programming. And then it was also, like, in, like, the old-timey accent, because, like, that was how they wanted children to speak. And it was weirdly jarring for me to, like, see programming for children that was that old.
Mm.
And I realized that I hadn't really seen much of that.
Yeah, because there isn't much, I don't think.
Yeah. Like, yes, there are children's books and there are whatever, but, like, children should read the Bible. They should read the book of Job. Like, I don't...
No, I think even, like, children's books, I think, are in like, the grand scheme
of
things.
You got what? Charlotte's Web?
Pretty new. Yeah. But so okay. I think because of that, you know, like, then children were given more rights, which is, you know, I'm not saying that's bad that we're paying attention.
They were working in the factories.
But then, like, you know, women and men stopped being so segregated. Again, a good thing. Mm-hmm. And people were getting married for love. Great.
Funsies.
But then you do, yes, then have those isolated units of, like, this is my family unit. This is my nuclear family of, like, you know, me and my husband, and my 2.5 kids. And, like, this is our life. And we interact with other families mm-hmm. in this way. And mm-hmm. it is very isolating. And again, there's privileges that come with that because that is the way you are, quote unquote, supposed to build your life.
Yeah.
But also it takes away a lot of opportunities.
And then you even have, like, really toxic people who are like, you can't have friends that aren't my friends. And it's like, you're not even allowed to have your own support system outside of your partner if you're in a toxic relationship like that.
Yeah, then, yeah, that's really bad.
Don't recommend that.
Don't do that if you can.
Avoid it. Yeah. I think, now I've got a hot take for you. I think couple privilege is bad.
I think you might be right.
I think I'm onto something.
I think you've cracked it wide open.
I think we should stop.
I agree.
Fuck you, listen, Spotify duo. You both have to pay for the whole thing like the rest of us.
No, I don't wanna.
Oh, you like your couple privilege. That's why you're doing things to make it so that you can have more couple privileges because you like the benefits you have.
No, I just like Spotify duo. In conclusion, I mean, listen, you know the quote-unquote privilege is bad when it's also bad for the people that are the privileged ones, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, they're not willing to get rid of it because they gain enough from the tax benefits and the insurance benefits and all of that stuff. And they view those things as more important than, like, having a robust support system.
Well, they also just might not think about it, you know? Yeah. Like, I do think it takes some level of incredible introspection that I have into my life to realize that, like, this is maybe the reason that certain things are happening, you know? Yeah.
Whereas everybody's got to do taxes. Tax season is coming up. I have to find a document.
I have not done my taxes.
I have to find a document.
Okay.
This podcast makes our taxes makes our taxes so complicated.
Oh, is it a Patreon document you need?
No, but I probably need that.
I think it's in the inbox, maybe. But that could also be last year's document.
It's a book document. And then also, I need to find out if I need to get an NPR. I don't think so.
I don't know what that is.
Because I didn't make enough money for them to, like, tax me on it.
Sure.
Anyway.
Okay.
What happens when you have multiple incomes?
Wait, are you looking for our royalty statement?
Yeah, I think.
You sent me a picture of it. You texted a picture of it to me. You could you could also email the sales.
Is it this?
Yes, you emailed me pictures of those.
Great.
Look at, she found it.
I think there is a specific form I do need.
Okay, well, you know who to email.
And I know who to ask, which is my dad.
Oh, that's not who I was thinking of, but okay.
No, but, like, for more details about what I need, he's the one that I ask.
No, that's fair. My dad is also my tax guy.
He texted me the other day, and he was like, just a reminder that tax season is upcoming, and if you would like help with your taxes, you need to send me things. And I was like, so true, bestie.
Yeah.
Anyway, taxes.
Dad privilege.
Dad privilege.
That's what we have.
So true.
Anyway, it's bad. Stop it.
Stop it. What's our poll for this week? How have you been impacted by couple privilege? Either
that's good.
As a positive or a negative, either as a single person or as a coupled person, or as a thruple, quapple, polupled person.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of polls, I did not spell that right. Speaking of polls, last week we asked people's favorite pasta type.
Yeah.
And lots of great answers. And, but I don't know why, but then a video, and I don't know. A video came to my eyeballs about a new pasta shape that was developed specifically to be the perfect pasta shape. Have you heard about this?
No. What's it called?
Let me find the video. Perfect. But the guy specifically like design this pasta shape to have the best like mouthfeel, the best like sauceability. Oh, like, did you find it? What's it called again?
Is it the one from Dan Pashman?
I don't know.
Cascatelli?
That sounds right, yeah.
I don't like that at all. No. No, 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 no. I have so many problems with this.
But he developed it specifically.
Yeah, okay, well, he developed it specifically to hold sauce.
Well, you know you don't like
I don't eat.
That's true, yes. So he, yeah, I forget what the third one was. It was the mouthfeel, the sauceability. Oh, and I think, like, forkability, like, if you can get it on your fork.
The texture of that is so inconsistent.
It kind of looks like an octopus.
It does. It has flappy things. Also, apparently very hard to find. Flappy things on one side?
Yes.
Like, I don't like the inconsistency of that texture.
What was it?
And it's not, it's called cascatelli.
Everyone look up cascatelli and you can.
It sounds like someone tried to combine our names and make it Italian.
Oh my God, it does. That's good. That's actually good.
Castella? Casica? Cascatelli.
Everyone look up cascatelli and tell us what you think about that pasta shape.
I think it's horrible. It's not like symmetrical. Like it's only symmetrical one way.
Yes.
That's bad.
I would be interested to eat it.
I wouldn't.
I would want to know. I want to know about this mouthfeel they claim. It should be good.
That's disgusting.
Sorry.
I'm disgusted.
I'm so sorry.
I bought a lot of pasta yesterday. My problem is that I usually eat the Protein Plus pasta.
Oh, wow.
Which comes in limited forms. And sure. my favorite types of pasta, they don't make it. They only make it in rigatoni, mm-hmm. penne, mm-hmm. spaghetti, and angel hair. At least those are the ones that are accessible to me.
Sure.
And none of those are my favorites.
Is bow tie your favorite? I don't remember.
Yes, bow tie. And then I was talking last time about, now I forgot what it was called because I have cascatelli stuck in my head.
So sorry. There was another C one like that was popular among the poll responses.
Do I need to go look in my cupboard? Pasta. The
cupboard.
Curly. Big. It's not fusilli.
Cavatappi?
Yes.
That's another one that a lot of the people liked.
Yes. So cavatappi is what I am referring to. But I called it something else because it has more than one name.
Oh. Cavatappi.
I called it whatever the...
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one.
Whatever the, like, Barilla.
It's like an extra long macaroni noodle.
Yeah, it's like a curly Q.
It's like a macaroni, but if it were to keep going and be squiggly.
Cavatappi. I know it as Celentani. That's what I know it as.
Ooh la la.
But it's also known as Amori, Serpentini, Spirali, Torselli, and Tortiglione.
Funny. That's funny.
But I bought some of that. I already had some bow ties. Mm-hmm. And I had rigatoni because last time I was feeling spicy.
Oh.
So, anyway, you can tell what? What's your beef? Oh,
rigatoni
is
good. I like rigatoni.
Rigatoni. Oh,
that's a good one. Big. My beef and my juice.
I literally just said rigatoni and me being like, what does it look like? It's you in my cupboard.
Okay, anyway, my beef.
Sorry, I think the worst is elbows. It's so hard to fork.
Yeah, they are hard.
They're too small.
That's true. They're too little. That's true.
They're too small.
I like the ones that are like itty bitty rigatonis, though, the tiny little tubes.
No, that's also hard to fork.
It is, unless you put them right in the tines.
That takes so long.
It's so satisfying. So fun. So fun for the family. Anyway, my beef is networking.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that it is a good thing to do. And I am doing it. But every mm-hmm. time I try to do it, I feel like an asshole. Because I'm like, this person is going to think I'm stinky for just talking to them to network. Even though that's
what you got to do.
It works. And if someone did that to me, I wouldn't be mad. But somehow I'm like, this person hates me.
Got to get that in your mind. Not that they hate you.
Yep.
It's okay.
It is okay. Because literally I would, if someone sent me the exact message I'm sending to people, I would be like, heck yeah, man. Let's talk about it. Anyway.
Yeah, like at most it would be like, I'm sorry, I don't have time.
Sorry, I'm busy. Anyway, with the Midwest in me, I just can't do it.
Yeah, it's too much. I'm a really bad advocate for myself.
Yeah.
Really bad.
My juice is, I saw Dune 2.
How was it? It probably wasn't good. Very juicy.
Pretty dry.
Sandy.
Pretty dry. There were some wet parts.
Okay.
There was some water. Okay. It was good. It was definitely weird, which I like knew going in mm-hmm. that there was going to be some weird fucking shit. Mm-hmm. But it was very good, very entertaining, great music, great visuals. The memes coming out of it have been exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
And Christopher Walken is in it. He plays like the Emperor. And it's very funny because he sounds like Christopher Walken. Okay. So there's been a lot of Christopher Walken impressions in my household since we saw it last night. And it's funny because they're saying like words in the language of the people in the movie, which is like Fremen. Right. So it's this like native language. And so there's this, he's named like the Muad'Dib. And he's like, the Muad'Dib, we must find
I'm Christopher it's like, Walken.
It's like, why is Christopher Walken saying this? Like,
I'm the dad
tongue?
In Hairspray.
It's like, never did I think I'd hear Christopher Walken saying like, native sci-fi words.
Right. Meanwhile, they got characters named Paul.
Sarah, I can't. You can't. I can't. I'll talk about it too much. The way his name is Paul. I'll talk.
Okay. Okay.
I can't. Because also, what I thought about today, because the final Jeopardy question today was about the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Bible.
They weren't like actually named Luke and John and James and Paul, right? Because there weren't just dudes in the Middle East
that's a good point.
Right? Like, there's no way that he was like, oh, yeah, this is my friend Jesus, and I'm Paul.
They probably, when it was translated,
they just were like,
they probably, like, anglicized them.
Sure.
But I'm sure the, like, the base of the name is probably the same or similar.
Like, there's just no way that, like, Luke was walking around
in the Bible.
The Middle East.
Was his name really Luke?
There's just no way. Yeah.
The original names. Oh, yes. The original names in Hebrew/Aramaic. Is that supposed to say Arabic? Or is it actually Aramaic/Greek? James was Yaakov. John was Yochanan. Matthew was Matityahu. Simon was Shimon. Paul was Saul.
Ah.
Thomas was either Taum or Didymus. Andrew was Andreas. Bartholomew was Bartolomei, which is a lot better than Bartholomew.
Yeah, that slaps way harder.
Peter was Petros in Greek, Kephas in Aramaic, and original name was Shimon. His name was Simon, and then they made him Peter for some reason.
Well, he already had a Simon.
So. Judas was Yehuda. Luke was Lucas or Luca.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's Greek. It's a Greek name. Mm. Mark was Marcus. Philip was Philippos.
So like, you can't even make the argument that like Paul is this ancient name because it's not.
Well, it's like Jesus wasn't Jesus. It was Yeshua or Yehoshua.
When did the name Paul start? Fuck.
When did it start?
Well, it's existed since Roman times because it derives from Roman family names, Paulus or Paulus, but with two L's this time.
Oh.
And it's from the Latin small, humble, least, or little.
Just have old names, you know?
Okay.
Biblical names.
I understand why Mr. Dune made his name Paul because it's like a thing in the movie. His, like, the name, the Fremen name he chooses is also about, like, being small and humble and. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 whatever. But you're really going to name him Paul?
It's really, really takes you out of this sci-fi.
And then his mom is Jessica?
That's bad.
Lady Jessica?
At least Paul.
Cryptic nun?
At least Paul is a more timeless name because it's biblical.
Yeah. Jessica?
Jessica is very time specific.
You cannot tell me that she is in this like ancient cult of nuns.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like the concubine of this duke.
Mm-hmm.
And then her name is Jessica. And then spoiler, she becomes this like big religious figure.
It's like, and her name is named Dustin.
Jessica.
Dustin.
At least they're not named Duncan Idaho.
McKaylee.
I was watching something the other day that they were talking about how all of us are going to be old people and your grandma's going to be named like Berlin.
Yeah, Raylan, you mean?
Who knows what I mean? It could be anything.
Navy spelled N-A-Y-V-E-E. No,
yeah, exactly.
N-A-Y-V-E-I-G-H.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's going to be someone's grandma.
I was also watching a video yesterday from Answer in Progress about why English spelling is so fucked up. Because in other languages, you can't just spell shit like that. You can't sure. just change the can't spelling wildly that. And have it still be the same name.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're ending this podcast. My beef.
I wish we would.
My beef is, I forgot what my beef was. I had one earlier and then I decided I didn't want to say it. And then I thought of one in the car and then I forgot it. My juice is my sister and my sister-in-law are coming this weekend. Not to see me, to see Angel City FC. I just happened to be here.
Oh, that's nice.
I had another juice and then I five got it. Gotta go fast. Okay, you can tell us about your beef, your juice, your thoughts on the name Paul. Oh my god, my other juice, I pulled up something on my computer about it, is Rachel Brosnahan's 2023 Emmys dress.
I saw your post about
I would this. Like to be clear that the 2023 Emmys took place in 2024.
Yeah.
But I recently, I went down a rabbit hole of, you know, the guy who does the Glambot? At award shows. I was just watching all of his videos.
How did he get that job, by the way?
I don't know. He's got majestic hair.
Certainly he didn't invent the glam bot.
No. I don't know.
How do you swing that?
On a big arm. Because it's on a... Anyway, and I saw Rachel Brosnahan's 2023 Emmys dress, which she wore in January of 2024, and I said...
Yes. It is a very you vibe.
That dress is dressin'. That was one of the top comments. That dress funny. Is dressin'.
I did enjoy looking at all the Oscars. Luke's? That's it. That's all I have to say.
Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. It was really just Paul. We all know that he just stole Star Wars from Dune. I'm sorry.
He stole Star Wars from Dune.
He stole Star Wars. He did. I'm sorry. But if you look at Dune and you look at Star Wars, it's like, yeah, man.
Sand.
Okay.
It's coarse.
Gets everywhere.
Gets everywhere. Yeah. Also, Star Wars is just an interesting case of, like, it wasn't adapted from anything. Like, it was just...
Well. It was a little bit adapted from Dune.
Yeah.
Yes, I know
I get that.
Yes.
But well, everything these days is, like, IP. It's based on IP. It needs to be based on something. And it's like, well, that's a fucking... Anyway, we need to end this podcast.
Okay, wait. One more thing, though.
What?
I was asking my friend after he saw Dune. I was like, do you think when... What's-his-face wrote the line in Star Wars that he's like, oh, I hate sand, it's coarse, and it gets everywhere. He wrote that mm-hmm. specifically to be a fuck you to Dune.
Maybe. Probably not.
I think he did.
And you know what?
We'll never know.
You know who created Star Wars?
Me.
George Lucas.
Ugh. He really said. He was like, you know what would be a great name for the hero
My
of this
name.
Franchise? My name. Ugh.
Like
that's such a George thing to do.
Like,
classic someone named George.
If I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna write a story, and the hero of my story is gonna be named Tello.
That brother, imagine. I would stop being your friend.
What if you wrote one and you just named it
Zaka,
but spelled the same, so people would be like, huh?
Yeah, perfect. No notes.
And then actual, like, Polish people would be like,
yes!
That, no, but they would be like, you're doing that wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, this
podcast has to be over.
It's ending.
It has to be done.
You can tell us about your beef and your juice, including the length of this podcast and how it wouldn't end, on our social media at Sounds Fake Pod. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/SoundsFakePod. Thank you to all of our patrons. You're lovely and delightful. We have a new $2 Patreon. It's River Haddock Haddock. If it's pronounced Haddock, I'm sorry for what you experienced as a child.
Yeah, that's tough.
If that's your name and if that's how it's, you know, that's tough. But thank you.
Not even middle school.
But thank you, River. You're a delight. Our $5 patrons who we are promoting this week are Colleen Walsh, Doug Rice, Edward Hayes Holgate, Elizabeth Wheeler, and Emily Jean. We also have Alexander, who has been a patron but bumped up from 2 to 5.
Whoa!
I assume it's because Alexander wanted to get those one day early podcasts.
I mean, who wouldn't want that?
So thank you very much. Our $10 patrons who are promoting something this week are the Barefoot Backpacker, who would like to promote their YouTube channel, RTW Barefoot, Song of Storm, who would like to promote a healthy work-life balance, and Val, who would like to promote ending this podcast. As I've said before, I don't mean the podcast as a concept. I mean
this episode. This one specifically.
Our other $10 patrons are Allison, Honey, Arkness, Benjamin, Selena Dobson, Benjamin Ibarra, Selena Dobson, David Harris, Derek and Carissa, Elbitter, my Aunt Jeannie, Kayla's dad, Math, Martin, Giselle Parker, Purple Haze. Our $15 patrons are Ace, who would like to promote The Writer, Crystal Scherer, Andrew Hillam, who would like to promote The Invisible Spectrum Podcast, Dia Chappelle, who would like to promote twitch.tv/Melodia, Hector Murillo, who would like to promote Friends That Are supportive, constructive, and Happy Goes a Better Person, Nathaniel White, who would like to promote NathanielJWayDesigns.com, Kayla Zanina, who would like to promote KateMaggotArt.com, and Chanel, who would like to promote Accepting That Everyone Is Different and That's Awesome. Our $20 patrons are Dragonfly and my mom, and they would like to promote this episode of the podcast ending. Thanks for listening. Tune in next Sunday for more of us in your ears.
And until then, take good care of your cows.
I'm leaving that weird gap in because Kayla wasn't paying attention because Kayla was on her phone.
I was looking at Zendaya pictures.
Oh, okay. Forgiven.
Thank you.